You know, it's amazing how the nerves don't hit you till you're ready to walk out the door. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe that'll help calm me down. Father, I just want to praise your name. I just want to thank you for everything that you do. You are an awesome God. You're an awesome daddy. And we just praise you. Father, Holy Spirit, be with me tonight. Help me, teach me, guide me. Help me to say the words that I need to say. Just give me peace. Give me peace and just help me to tell it how it needs to be told so that everyone can understand. And I just pray that everyone opens their minds and opens their hearts to hear the word tonight. And we just want to praise you and thank you. We give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So some time ago, almost a year ago, I listened to this message from Jensen Franklin, and it just really stuck with me, and I've listened to it several times, and I thought, you know, I should be able to take notes from this somehow and make it into a teaching of what he did, because it was so good what he did. So let's see, I think it was like... October 10th, Bonnie taught on faith, and her title was Faith Rejoices. And then Patty taught on the 8th, and hers was Faith, the Substance of Your Mouth. And then Pastors, I guess it was a Sunday on the 1st that you taught on, well, you preached on Use Your Faith. So guess what I'm teaching tonight on? Faith. So titled this, Is Your Faith Anchored? So after we go through this, I think you'll see why I chose to go that way. This morning, with the way the whole service went, and you talking about the breakthroughs coming through, and all of us go through storms. All of us go through a spiritual storm. Some of you may be going through a spiritual storm now, okay? So I felt like this was going to sort of fall in place, that if you're holding back for your breakthrough to come through because you're going through a storm, we're going to talk about how to get through that storm. Amen. Okay? Amen. We're going to talk about how to get through the storm. So let's go to Acts 27:17. And I should have had this pulled up already. That's all right. It'll give you time. So in Acts 27:17, and I'm going to just go ahead and read it all the way to the, my iPads want to act up, to the 31st verse. So now what we're talking about here is Paul is on a ship. I believe he's being a prisoner, right? He's a prisoner, and they're about to go into a really bad storm. So we're kind of picking up as they see the storm coming. So after hoisting the skiff on board, they used support lines for frapping. And I'm sorry, I'm going through the Amplified version. They used support lines for frapping to undergird and brace the ship's hull, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows Syrtis off the north coast of Africa, they let down the sea anchor and lowered the sails and were driven along backwards with the bow into the wind. On the next day, as we were being violently tossed about by the storm and taking on water, they began to jettison the cargo. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle, spare lines, blocks, miscellaneous equipment overboard with their own hands to further reduce the weight. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm kept raging about us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was growing worse and worse and gradually abandoned. After they had gone a long time without food because of seasickness and stress, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have followed my advice and should not have set sail from Crete and brought on this damage and loss. But even now I urge you to keep up your courage and be in good spirits, because there will be no loss of life among you, but only loss of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me and said, "Stop being afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has given you the lives of all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I believe God, and I have complete confidence in him, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run the ship aground on some island." The 14th night had come, and we were drifting and being driven out in the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors began to suspect that they were approaching some land. So they took soundings using a weighted line and found the depth to be 20 fathoms or 120 feet. And a little further on, they sounded again and found the depth to be 15 fathoms or 90 feet. Then, fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern to slow the ship, and kept wishing for daybreak to come. But as the sailors were trying to escape secretly from the ship and had let down the skiff into the sea, pretending they were going to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men remain on ship, you cannot be saved." So one of the keys to surviving a storm is to be anchored properly. So like I just said, if you're not going through a storm now, you probably have, or it's almost guaranteed you will go through a storm. So there was a story of some NFL football players that happened back, I think, in 2009. I was going to pull the story up and read it, but I'm just going to sort of just give you a little bit of it. So basically what it was, there was 2 NFL players and then 2 college players who I think were prospects to go on to become NFL players. So they went out on a boat to go fishing. They were in the Gulf of Mexico and they saw a storm coming. So they just sort of threw their anchor over. Well, they saw the storm coming, so they tried to pull the anchor up, but it was caught. First of all, they had the anchor thrown, I believe, to the wrong side of the ship. So one of them thought, well, you know, hit the gas and maybe we can get the anchor to come free. Well, what that did when they did it was it pulled the boat down, took on water, and it capsized. So they were all floating on the you know, the bottom side of the boat. One of them was able to swim underneath. He got like 3 life vests and 1 like a cushion. So, but basically after a couple days, 2 of the 2 NFL players succumbed to the cold. And then it just left the two college players. So then one of them succumbed to hypothermia and it just left the one guy. And he was actually rescued, that guy. So what they found out was it was improper anchoring. They did not anchor the boat properly. So obviously anchoring is very important in the natural, and it's a vital thing. So in this Acts, it tells us, Paul tells us that they put out 4 anchors to keep them from drifting into the rocks and facing disaster. So now, you need to have your life, your family, your marriage, whatever may be important to you, you need to have it anchored. Anchored in the Word of God. Okay? Amen? Now, Paul gives us, and he says, there's 3 things we should do when we are faced with a storm. Number 1, brace up. If you notice, they braced up the ship when they saw the storm coming. They knew it was going to get bad. They could see what was coming. So they said, we better brace up the ship and reinforce it. So the way they did it back in Bible days, the way they had to brace up a ship was, Someone had to actually take a rope or chain. They had to swim under the boat with the rope, and then they would bring it around, tie it off, and someone would do this until they felt they had the ship braced. Okay? Now, to undergird means to secure or fasten from the underside, especially by a rope or chain passed underneath. Now, when you get into a storm, you need to brace your mind up with the Word of God. Right? Brace your mind with the Word of God. That's the first thing we should do. If when we hit rough weather, spiritually thinking, we need to brace our mind with the Word of God. Now, in Jeremiah 1 through 5, it tells us, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope." Amen. Now, it braces you up when you fill your mind with the Word of God. If you don't, fear, worry, discouragement, depression, all can take over. Okay? And we don't want that. So brace up your mind with the Word of God. Now, maybe your storm that you're going through or been through is financial. Remember Malachi 3:10. We've said this many times during the tithing testimony. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it." Amen. So the second thing is cheer up. Now, you don't have no time for a pity party during a storm. We want to, right? But we don't have time for a pity party. Hope must rule your heart. Control your attitude. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And think about it. Things could be worse. Things could always be worse. Now, the message of Christianity is victory, right? It's not victim. It's not depression. It's not despair. And it's not going through trials. Our faith is the faith that overcomes the world, the faith that hell can't stop and demons cannot stop. Amen. No weapons formed against us will prosper. Amen. Amen. You have an anchor that is stronger than all the lies and all that the enemy tries to bring against you. And you know who our anchor is, right? Jesus. So cheer up and be of good cheer in the middle of your storm. Look, God's not leading you to defeat or devastation. He's leading you from place to place in everlasting victory. You need to undergird your life, your call, your business, your marriage with the Word of God. Now, the third thing, lighten up. So, it says they began to lighten the load with their own hands. So, you know, it was probably going around, stopping at port to port. They started picking up stuff, a bunch of junk probably. So as we go through life, we start to pick up stuff. And then we realize, when a storm comes, we realize all the extra and excess baggage that we have, all that extra stuff. So I want you to notice in the scripture that it said, they lightened the load with their own hands. So that's what we need to do. We don't need to wait on God to do it for us. You know, we have to do our part, okay? So we don't expect God to come in and totally clean it up. We've got to do our part, and then He will help us to get rid of the excess, right? So don't complain all through the storm, okay? Tell yourself you won't complain all through the storm. I've had to tell myself that. I realized that I was at work. I was just wanting to complain about it and complain about different people. And I thought, well, this ain't getting me nowhere. It's just making things worse. So I started to pray for everybody. Amen. I started pleading the blood on everybody. I'd walk through at work and I would plead the blood. And it turned everything around. It still now is turned around. It's better. I don't like to shift them on. So please pray for me to help me get back on the regular day shift. Amen. But things at work are a whole lot better. So we're going to get rid of our excess baggage. Now, do you know what some of that excess baggage may be that you let come into your life? Depression, fear, unforgiveness. Just unload it. Get rid of it. Okay? Load up on Jesus and get rid of all that excess baggage. Now, Jensen Franklin stated that when he goes through a storm, there's three things that he feels the enemy tries to bring against his spirit. Number one, insufficiency. Have you ever felt insufficient? I know I have. Insecurity, number two. And number three, insignificance. I know the first time Pastor asked me if I would get up here and teach, I felt all three things. I just didn't think I was worthy of doing this, and it took I don't think I told you no right off. I believe I said yes, and then I did a lot of praying about it. So you have to throw all those off your ship too. Get rid of them. Be confident, be bold, be courageous. That is what God called us to be. It's not the boat that keeps you safe in the storm. It's the anchor. It's how you are anchored properly, right? It's the responsibility of our anchor to keep us safe. Amen? And Jesus is our anchor. He is the rock of ages. So when you go through a storm, what are you going to do? I want you to repeat after me. We're going to brace up. We're going to cheer up. And we're going to lighten up. Amen. Now, when you don't anchor yourself properly, that's when it can cost you. Okay? So anchor yourself properly. So in the scriptures, Paul did say they put out four anchors. So they wanted to make sure they were properly anchored. So I want to talk about what those four anchors can represent and how they can keep you afloat while going through a storm. So the first anchor they threw out was the anchor of purpose. I am here for a purpose. My purpose is stronger than the storm. Remember what it said in Jeremiah 1-5. You remember what it said? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. He knows us. He knows every hair on the top of our head. He knows every part about us. Okay? Now, losers focus on what they are going through, but winners focus on where they are going. They focus on the prize, the reward. Amen. And that's what you need to do. You need to be a winner. You need to focus on the prize. You need to focus on the reward. Okay? Now, do you think Jesus focused on what he was going through when he was crucified on the cross? I'm sorry to keep pulling these off, but I'm totally blur if I keep them on. I'm sure he did not. He did not think about, you know, how terrible it was right now, what I'm going through. He knew what his purpose was. Okay? He knew what he was doing for us. Okay? Look, if you don't think God can use you, you're wrong. Okay? He can, and he will, and he does. He used sinners, and he used failures. But the one thing he will not use, he will not use a quitter. So don't quit. Okay? Again, like we talked about before, you got to do your part. So don't quit. As long as you're trying and you're fighting and you're going through the storm and you're doing what you're supposed to, God will never leave your side. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. Now, the second anchor is the anchor of courage. Now, courage is the ability to finish the race even if you're in last place. Amen? Courage is refusing to let anything defeat you. You have Jesus with you. So if God is for me, then who can be against us? Right? Right? Now, courage is not the absence of fear, but doing it in spite of fear. So don't lose sight of the shore in a storm. Don't lose sight of your reward, your goal. Amen? Now, the third anchor that we have is the anchor of worship. Now, when we get in a storm, we are not called to be whiners. Okay? We are not to whine. Christians do not whine. Worship, not whining, is what Christians do. Okay? Christians worship. Amen? Worship even when you don't feel like it. And I know you may say, oh God, look at the week we've had. Look how bad it's been. And you want me to go to church? Yes. That's when we need to be here. That's when we need to assemble together. Okay? When you've had the lowest point that you think it can be, you need to come. You need to worship. That's what you need. Okay? Okay. Ooh, yeah. Now, be number four, be anchored in the church. So I want Jeff, he graciously volunteered to be my So Jeff is going to represent my rock that can't be moved. Okay? So you know who my rock is? It's Jesus. So just let me look over this because I don't want to get it right. I don't want to come across wrong to you. Now, it's natural for us to drift somewhat, right? You're always not going to be in the presence of God like this at all times, okay? I don't care who you are. You're not going to be. So it's natural for us to drift. But oh, there's that tug. So I was drifting. Oh, there's that tug. That's because you are saved. And you will feel that tug from your Father, and he will draw you back.
That's right.
So he won't let those temptations. You may go a little further, but guess what? There's that tug, and he's going to pull us back. Okay? If he doesn't, if you don't feel a tug, then you're probably not saved, and I do believe everybody in here is saved. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Good job, Jeff. Good job. So, you know, like I said, it's natural to drift. Life happens. But if you are anchored properly, you won't drift far. You will not drift far. Okay? Now, when you are saved, you are connected to a strong anchor, and it will hold you back. So don't ever forsake the assembling of yourself together. This is a very strong anchor that we all need. Okay, we all need that strong anchor. And it's a very powerful anchor to be anchored in the church. Now, I did teach about this before one of the fellowships, and it says, why is Christian fellowship important? Because it makes us stronger. It provides encouragement. It reminds us we're not alone, and it helps us to grow. Okay? So in Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. See how quick I can get there. If all you gotta do is type one wrong thing on here and it'll go away from you. So we're gonna just gonna read 6:18 and 19 together. So now this is telling us that we can remember that when we're in a storm, there are two unchangeable things about our Father, His promise and His oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to Him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. This hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul, it cannot slip and it cannot break down, whatever pressure bears on it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that most holy place in which the very presence of God dwells. Amen. Almost read on to 20. I was getting carried away. So this was this was another illustration that Jensen gave. So we have, if we have this here, this is what we're going to say under the old covenant is the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And we have a veil in front of the covenant. So, and I'm sorry, but I am going to read this because I definitely do not want to mess this up. So the Ark of the Covenant, that represents Jesus, okay? So that represents Jesus. The smallest form of faith is hope, okay? So when I take my hope and I throw it beyond the veil, it attaches, or actually what it does, it transforms in midair into an anchor and attaches and grabs a hold of Jesus. Amen? And then it says, I have an anchor for my soul. An anchor for my soul. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So Romans, turn with me to Romans 8 and 38 and 39. Because we want to hear what all it says about the love of Jesus, the love of God. 38, 39. So, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. It says, I know I am forever attached to Him. Are you? Amen? As, you know, it's such a blessing to know that he knew us before we were even consumed, you know, before we were even in the womb, that he knew us, he had a purpose for us. And I just think it's awesome that our Heavenly Father loves us that much. So what an amazing Father we have. What an amazing anchor we have. With Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. 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 And thank you.